You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Tuesday night. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Wait, what's that poster? Rabbi Con? What is that?
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
If you followed hockey... I'm following.
Now, guys, the Big Ten has postponed the fall sports season. The first Power 5 conference to postpone its fall sports. In a statement, the conference said it will evaluate the possibility of competition in the spring. In addition to football, this decision, of course, affects men's and women's soccer, men's and women's cross country, women's volleyball, and field hockey. So you know what that means? Maryland can't have a terrible loss to Rutgers this fall. So I think I actually just gained a win.
I'll tell you one thing.
Maybe good for Maryland.
Obviously, losing college football stinks for a lot of people who love it and for the kids that have been preparing their whole life. But if you take college football and you lose it this year and you lose the money that it makes, it's going to slay the other smaller sports forever. They just, the college football's profits prop up the other sports in a university. And that is a big part of this. It's huge.
That's the part I really feel for. And, you know, like you think of a school like Maryland, where I went, where field hockey's giant. You know, men's and women's soccer is giant. You know, there are a ton of lives affected by it. That is, there's, I don't want to make, even though the three of us seem to feel strongly that this is the right decision, there's no doubt this is going to affect a lot of people.
And it affects the school itself. I'm sure that brand new library or that laboratory, the bio lab, the science department, a lot of that comes from football too. You know, yeah, so the school makes a ton of money, and it's gonna probably affect all the students.
All right, let's hear. Michael just mentioned Greg Sankey and the decision. On a timetable on a decision for the SEC season. Here he is on Good Morning America.
We've been very deliberate in our decision making. We've not put young people in the helmets and pads for practice. We've been thoughtful about what this entire summer may look like. We have moved the start of our season back to September 26, 3 weeks after the last of our campuses returns, because we're going to be continually monitoring what happens in our communities and our states. Our timeline is really based on the advice of a biostatistician way back in April, said to me, listen, this is a new virus. We have not been through this before. So the longer you take to make decisions, the better information you'll have available to make those decisions. And that has been wise counsel, and counsel we've heeded every step along the way.
Listen, I don't think that you have to cancel or postpone right now. I mean, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided to do it, but let it breathe. I mean, as long as you feel that there's time. And I do believe, and I said this the other day, you said, Peter, you know, we all agree that it should be postponed. I'm not necessarily that. I think that's the most prudent course. But if the majority of the players say they want to play and they're willing to sign away any liability, then play. Because, I mean, Trevor Lawrence seems like he would sign away any liability. If they get enough players to play, don't legislate against them that they can't play. If they want to play and they will not sue, then let them play.
Well, there's also a really basic thing here that I think a lot of people are ignoring, which is that, Michael, a lot of these schools are back, right? Like Notre Dame. Campuses, everyone's back on campus. So you're already dealing with trying to keep thousands of kids safe. And then in football, you have a situation where a group of kids will get together from with kids from another campus and exchange spit, sweat, and blood for a whole day and then go back to their campus. Does anybody think about the other students? Has it ever been thought of?
Maybe the presidents are thinking of that.
They're not in a literal bubble, but I mean, for those who are fighting tooth and nail to think like, oh, it's fine, press on, we need college football, what about the kids who live in the dorms next to the players who aren't playing college football? They're not signing up to swap snot with kids from Penn State. Anyways, let's hear from a brilliant mind, Lou Holtz on Fox News.
I think they should play, but then again, that's my thing. I think that you ought to say to the players, you want to play if you have a problem, if you have an asthma problem, if you're diabetic or something, and you have a legitimate reason you don't want to play, absolutely, don't play. The rest of you want to play, let's go play. I think that we shut everything down for 6 months. I'm going crazy about being quarantined. I think other people are tired of, let's move on with our life. When they stormed Normandy, they knew that there were going to be cash and there's going to be risk. 2% of the people that attend, they go to the emergency room, go for COVID-19. 2% of it is going down. But young people, Bill, they think it's like cancer. They think they're going to die.
I wish I had a live cam on Lou Holtz's family and grandkids as this interview is happening live. I would love to see the face palm that's happening. It's the ramblings of a psychopath.
I mean, come on, to compare it to Normandy, really?
Normandy? We're talking about heroes who are saving hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, who were risking their lives in the military and died by the thousand. I don't understand.
And it's not like we haven't been stuck in our house for the last 5 months, like to build up credits, okay, or to build up stamina. For if we face this, so we were in there for a reason, and we've been able to bring down the numbers because of it. But Peter, it's like, all right, well, it's enough. I've been in quarantine for 6 months. It's the time to move on. What is it?
But I think that's gone around the country. That kind of thinking, Don.
But what did you spend all that time in quarantine for? Like, did you think you were going to get like some kind of like extra credit? No, you were in there because it wasn't safe. Now, it's safer than it was because of that quarantine, but we still have a little ways to go here, especially in some of these hotbeds, which, by the way, they want to play college football in.
And also, all those that say the college coaches really care and they want to protect the players, Lou Holtz was a big-time college football coach. You think he's alone in this thinking? I don't.
He basically said, all right, now maybe he didn't mean it this way, but this is the way I took it when he threw Normandy out. That playing college football, he believes that there is, I guess, a certain number he is willing to sacrifice to make that happen.
And I love the cancer parallel. You don't catch cancer. You catch COVID-19.
See, I'm glad you said that because, again, if being responsible was enough, but in no circumstances it's not because you can be responsible, but somebody else's irresponsibility gets you sick, right? So if I do all the right things on the football field, I'm not 100% protected. I have to rely on the guy next to me, and more importantly, the guy that I'm defending on Saturday also being as responsible. Otherwise, all my responsibility get thrown out the window, right? As you said, if he blows a snot bubble on me, then all the work that I did is not going to mean much, is it?
Let's hear from Howard Cross, former tight end, joined us earlier, talked about it's safer for college players being together than not playing.
The safest place for the athletes is to actually be playing the games. If they're playing the games, they're required to stay together. They're required to do things that are going to protect them so they can actually be in games, and they're going to look out for themselves to play. If they're not playing games, coaches can't be with them because the NCAA rules kind of restrict them from being around the players when they're not actually during the season. So now they're just hanging out. Now they're going to frat parties and sorority parties and just house parties and hanging out with whoever, because they don't have to get up for workouts. They don't have to be in meetings. They don't have to do all this stuff. We have put them in more risk by not requiring them to stay together and to take care of themselves. I don't understand what everyone's thinking.
By the way, we'll say this about Howard Cross. We all disagreed with him vehemently. Fantastic guest.
What happens when the season's over? Season's got to end at some point.
Well, then
so
it's
moving
COVID
it
season.
To the spring, you're kind of enhancing that we'll learn a little bit more closer to a vaccine. But, you know, if we play in September, then that means that for most of college football, you're going to be sending the majority of these kids into the open field there in, you know, the last week of November.
Incredible tweet here from Shining Wizards Kevin. OMG, this whole show you guys were talking about Lou Holtz. I kept picturing Lester Holt. This makes a little more sense now.
Oh, boy.
What a time to be alive.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nebraska still hopes it's possible to play. In a joint statement released by head coach Scott Frost and University Brass, the school said it hopes it may be possible for our student athletes to have the opportunity to compete, even if they have to play outside of the Big Ten. So,
again, they're going to play the Washington Generals.
That would be big.
Big number. It's like when Nebraska used to play Pacific, right, Michael? They just ran the ball every time and still won by 50.
No major surprise here, by the way. Pac-12 will be postponing the fall sports season. Of course, you can't be shocked by that. They can't have football practice right now in California. They can't do anything, gather near a football stadium in any way right now. So don't see how it would have been possible for USC and UCLA and the powerhouses of the Pac-12 to actually get ready. So, they will be postponed, and they're going to look at options for playing in the spring as well. This is the conference I know Michael cares about. The Mountain West has postponed fall sports indefinitely.
Trying to think of a mountain. What would be a Mountain West school?
You know, I wish that we could uncover.
Boise State.
I think it was a school in Colorado and a school in Washington where the coaches told the players to lie. So yeah. Coach is not Mother Teresa.
That's the point. See, I think Howard was looking at it through the prism of Notre Dame. And if I had to guess, I would think Notre Dame is one of those schools that probably is pretty buttoned up, right? But are they going to everybody they're going to play is be buttoned up?
I really do have to wonder, and this will be controversial, if Clemson's playing a really big game and Trevor Lawrence is asymptomatic and test positive, what do you think, guys?
Exactly. Who is governing that? See, if it's Major League Baseball, right, there would be obviously the commissioner. Now, these conferences have commissioners, but you just kind of wonder, do they have the same power as some of these big-time head coaches do, right? And they would have agents and the union to protect the players that if something like that were to happen, you can blow the whistle and something would happen. What is a player going to, what's Trevor Lawrence going to do? He's not going to blow the whistle. He wants to play. Right? So how are any of the players that are upset about that? Where would they go? It would be their word against one of the biggest coaches in the country. So how's that going to work out? So he's probably going to end up keeping his mouth shut, and the players won't say anything, and then people get sick.
Well, we're not quite done with the college football story, guys. President Donald Trump weighed in as well.
I'm sure.
He said he thinks college football would be making a tragic mistake if the sport is not played this fall. He was on Fox Sports Radio, which apparently is a thing, and He cited the youth and overall health of college players as factors that would help them avoid the serious symptoms. These football players are very strong, young, strong people, and physically, I mean, they're physically in extraordinary shape. So they're not going to have a problem. You're not going to see people, you know, could there be, could it happen, but I doubt it. Thank you, Dr. Trump. As we said earlier, they're saying 10 athletes now, Michael, dealing with that same heart condition.
That's what got them. That's what
that
got
really them. Sent the Big Ten over the top.
And it's not even that they're worried about players getting sick like that. It's that the families of those players suing. Right?
Yeah, of
because
course.
Because if all of those families signed waivers, then they would probably be okay to play.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, finally, the Houston Astros have gotten some big punishment. Hitting coach Alex Cintron, who started, supposedly it was his comments that started the brawl with Ramon Laureano of the A's over the weekend. Cintron has been suspended 20 games for his role.
I don't even know if that's enough. It was very clear that the one thing he can't have is fights during this time. And he incited it. He incited the fight. Laureano was not fighting anybody. He did not charge the pitcher. He got hit three times. But it was the comments from Cintron that started the entire melee. And so Major League Baseball gave him 20. The Astros should say, take a seat for the rest of the year. But they never do the right things, ever.
Now let me ask you, Michael. When they say 20 games, they just mean the actual 9-inning or possible 7-inning game? Or can he still like be around and instruct guys during batting practice and maybe a day off, work with players?
Great question. I have no idea. I wish I had.
Because I would think a hitting coach, really, the most of his heavy lifting doesn't come during the course of the game.
Right. Especially so when you can't go into a video room anymore. So all of his work is before the game.
So he could still be of value to them during that 20-game span.
He should not even be allowed in the ballpark. Shouldn't be allowed to travel with them.
Well, let's move to the NBA for a moment.
Please.
If you will. Lakers got a win yesterday over Denver. Kyle Kuzma with the clutch jumper to send Denver packing. And let's hear what Kuzma had to say about his game-winning shot.
I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'll probably still shoot. So, I mean, it don't really matter to me. Just got an open look. It's a play that we kind of ran and practiced a few times, you know, prior to the restart. And, you know, coach had faith in me and just called my number, and I, you know, paid off.
People don't realize this. Jesus, not the greatest shooter, but, boy, defender extraordinary.
Well, that's what
makes... You don't even get a shot off against Jesus.
Well, I was going to say, the reason that statement's absurd is in Jesus, you're talking about one of the great closeout defenders in basketball.
Right. Yeah,
so, you know, you better have a quick clutch, because right. When he comes out...
I'm just telling you.
Hands are up, okay?
You know, if Jesus was a Cavalier, Jordan does not make that shot.
That's true. Wait, you're telling me right now, this is a big news story. RJ, breaking news. You're telling me that Jesus would be a better defender than Craig Ela?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot. Full bubble action tonight, by the way. Don, a team you root for, I don't know why, the Trailblazers.
Yes.
Why are you a fan again?
No, I'm never going to tell.
They have a big game. Tonight, 6:30, starting soon, against the Mavericks.
Then the Nets close it out.
So, interesting situation there for the Blazers, who are fighting right there on the outside of the bubble. Pelicans, Kings, Bucks, Wizards. Buck Wizard almost works as a porn name. Almost.
By the way, I just want to squeeze this in before we run out of time, Michael. I do have an ice pick.
Excuse me?
It's in time ice pick, because I made this bet. I just put 50 on this particular moment right now. I've got the Blue Jackets.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
I got a plus 110 on the Blue Jackets in overtime, so I said, you know what, I'm going to bet this. There's 55.3 to go in the first overtime. Obviously, they're tied. Tied at 2 in game 1 of their series with the Lightning. Now, I got the Lightning winning this series, but I just had a feeling, and I got nice odds on the Blue Jackets winning in overtime. So, if you're not doing anything, go to your... I went to BetMGM and throw something down on that. Make it even more interesting.
Donald?
See what I can do for you. Yes.
Do you know what happened on this day in 2015?
I know.
Tell us.
It was number 2 on my list.
That's right.
Geno Smith got his jaw broke.
Really one of the crazy stories of all time.
It is just a
bizarre story.
Just to have a starting quarterback, not a great starting quarterback, but a starting quarterback basically get beat up by someone that literally got cut 30 seconds after he did it. And then the great postscript to it, of all people, Rex Ryan signs IK to a contract. And then when the Bills play the Jets, he has IK out there for the coin flip with Geno. Classic Rex.
I forgot about that. That was so good.
I mean, it was bogus. The whole thing was bogus, but still, for somebody that gets it as far as like drama out of nowhere, it's Rex.
Yeah, so if you head over to ESPN.com, they have players telling the story of how it happens. The most important, I'll give you the most important moments of this from Brandon Marshall and Trevor Riley. First, Brandon Marshall, he said, "You see all these guys, including myself, running to the area. I was in the second wave of guys to go over there. I look, and IK is on Geno in the locker. You got all these guys, offensive and defensive linemen, trying to pull him off. They just couldn't. I was like, holy crap. I remember Geno coming up after a while, kind of like touching his jaw with blood on his lips." The word is he got punched literally into a locker. Things were never quite the same. Although, let's be honest, things weren't that great before that either. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.